friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, November the 1st. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And as always, brothers and sisters, we come together to just open ourselves to the Word of God that we will hear this coming weekend. This coming weekend being the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. We are down to this Sunday of Ordinary Time and two more before we hit the feast that closes our liturgical season, which is the Feast of Christ the King. And then 4 weeks from this moment, this day, we will enter into the new liturgical season and begin Advent, which is amazing. What will we be hearing today? So for those who'd like to follow along, we're going to read out of Deuteronomy. So that's the first reading, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 2 to 6. So fairly brief, but also a reading that you'll have heard before, and it won't fall on you in a new way. Well, maybe it will. I hope it does. That's wonderful. But it'll be words with which you are familiar. And then our gospel is out of Mark 12, chapters or verses 28b to 34. And again, I'll kind of explain why we jumped so far ahead there too. So Deuteronomy and Mark. Again, as always, my friends, however it is that you prepare yourself to hear the Word of God well and to allow that Word to take root within you, I invite you to do that at this time and prepare and open yourself so that Word may find a home within you. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Fear the Lord your God, and keep throughout the days of your lives all his statutes and commandments which I enjoin on you, and thus have long life. Hear then, Israel, and be careful to observe them, that you may grow and prosper the more. In keeping with the promise of the Lord, the God of your fathers, to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, brothers and sisters, as I always say, if there was an idea, an image, a word, a phrase, a thought that came to mind when you heard those words, sit with that, allow that word just to find a home within you and to burrow down deep and to let it do what it needs to do. Just chew on it and sit with it and let God work with you, on you, through that word, okay? And now we move on to our gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "This is the first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. my friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've often thought, because it's very rare, right, that Jesus compliments one of the scribes or the Pharisees or the elders or the Sadducees. I mean, this may be the sole instance when he does that, other than perhaps Nicodemus when he has that one-on-one. But this is a public area, and well, it leads me to that point that I made earlier. Okay, remember last week, we were in Mark chapter 10. We finished out Mark chapter 10. It was verses 46 to 52. And you may be thinking to yourself, why didn't we hear out of Mark chapter 11? And why did we jump in at verse 28b here today? So we missed out on much of Mark chapter 12. A wonderful question if you did think about it in your head. And if you didn't, I'm sure it was right there. It was ready to happen. So Mark chapter 11 is Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Remember that Jesus was walking on the way to Jerusalem when James and John were like, hey, you know, allow us this favor. Let us sit at your right and your left. So they were moving toward Jerusalem. And also, it was on the way to Jerusalem when Jesus saw the blind man Bartimaeus last week. So anyway, he hit Jerusalem in chapter 11 last week. And then it was the entry. It was, you know, what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. And then much of the goings-on that happened. So in that week that Jesus is there in Jerusalem, he goes into the temple area many times and teaches. And I suspect what we're going to hear, I have not looked to the next 2 weeks what we're going to hear, but we are hearing today. In those times, Jesus does many teachings, and he has these interactions with the Pharisees, with the scribes, with the Sadducees. But what I love about this one is this scribe, in this case, comes to Jesus with a question, not to test him, not to put him in a corner, not to do anything other than, I want to learn from you. So in a sense, his question comes from an honest intent, from a pure heart, if I may use that phrase. And Jesus recognizes that. And I suspect more than the answer that the Pharisee, or excuse me, in this case, the scribe says that, Master, you are right in saying that this commandment is the greatest, and this is worth more than any burnt offering, which is a brilliant insight, by the way. I would say on equal level, let me say it that way rather than more or less, on equal level was not only the scribe's answer to Jesus, but the scribe's intent, that he came with pure heart, not to trap, not to test, not to you know, make Jesus look bad, but really to learn. And I suspect, as much as anything, that's why Jesus looked at him and said, you are not far from the kingdom, because you come with an inquisitive and an open heart, one that wants to sit, in a sense, at the feet of God and listen and learn, and in so doing, become new. And I would say, brothers and sisters, do we do that same thing? Because to the extent that we do come before our God with pure heart, with an intent to learn, I think our God is pleased. I think the desire to please God indeed pleases God. I think the desire to live out the will of God indeed pleases God. I think the desire to want to learn more, so indeed I can make that my daily habit in the ins and outs of my life and those people with which I see and live, I think that pleases God. I think our desire is as much to do with our knowledge. So don't, if you're not at a place, brothers and sisters, in your life of faith where you want to be, and you say, I'm not there yet because I don't know scripture, or I don't know this verse, or I want to learn, you know, more of our history. Hey, brothers and sisters, that's all great. And I hope that I can assist you with that. And I hope you find other people that can, and you get to where you want to be. But do not discount the purity of your intent and your heart. Because I think God looks at you and says, oh, my friend, you are not far from the kingdom. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the content, right? So Deuteronomy, as you know, this is a second telling. This is where Moses brings the people all together. And we're in chapter 6, but if you would go back to chapter 5, effectively, Moses calls the people together, and he goes over the Ten Commandments, the ones that came down in Exodus, by the way, which is the second book in Scripture, right? It goes Genesis, then Exodus. Well, Deuteronomy is the fifth book. It completes the law. That's the greatest five books in Jewish Scripture. It's the ones that they would bring with them in the Ark of the Covenant. And so he completes it, but what he's doing is he's retelling the law. He's re-summarizing the law, and he does that in chapter 5 with the Ten Commandments. But here in chapter 6, in a sense, he summarizes what he just summarized. He's taking the Ten Commandments, and he's summarizing them down to one. This sounds, in a sense, like the First Commandment. It's not. The First Commandment is... I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods beside me, right? Now, in some ways, this first commandment that Moses is giving them right now is indeed that. It's called, for Jewish brothers and sisters, it is called the Shema. I mean, they know that. If you've ever seen a movie where they kiss the side, the lintels of their door and touch it. That is because they're touching that law that they'll have on the little saying, right? On the lintels, the entryways of their door. And this is it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. And therefore you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Take these words to heart, these words which I enjoin on you today. It is the center of the Jewish people, of what binds them as a people. It is the center of who they are, their God. Now, brothers and sisters, when Jesus then, in the gospel, is asked by, in a pure way, by this scribe that says, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus doesn't cite one of the 10. He doesn't cite one of the 613 that have been created through, you know, various midrash and things that the Jewish people did and created and built around the 10. He cites this. He cites the Deuteronomy. He cites Moses' summation of what all this means. But Jesus does it in even I'll say a more full way. So Jesus, of course, when asked, what is the greatest of all the commandments, summarizes word for word what we just heard Moses say. But then he says, okay, so hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, basically everything you are. But then he adds, the second is this. So he says, almost on equal plane, almost on equal level as this one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What's beautiful is that, and then Jesus says, there is no commandment greater than these. I mean, so he's putting them almost on an equal level. What's beautiful is that the scribe doesn't say, hey, the first one was fantastic, but the second one, because he pulls it from a completely different book, by the way. Had we kept reading out of Deuteronomy today, you would not have heard that second one. But the scribe doesn't bat an eyelash. He says, you are right, Jesus. He's not just saying, okay, you passed the test. He's saying, I appreciate your insight. You're right in saying, listen, God is greater. God is the one. There is no other. And to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And, he says, and to love our neighbor as ourself is worth more than any burnt offering. Why, brothers and sisters? Why is it worth more than any burnt offering or sacrifice? Because, brothers and sisters, to love is an act of our will. To love is an act of our being, an act of our person. Remember, love is not a feeling, because feelings cannot be commanded. We cannot, you know, be told, conjure up this feeling today. Feelings are what they are. Our emotions are what they are. But love is a decision to act on behalf of and for another. And not just another, to act on behalf of and for our God, to act of on behalf and for someone else in our life, whatever and whoever that person is, to act and love and act on behalf of and for ourselves, which are going to be wrapped up in that too, right? Because to love our neighbor as ourself presumes we are loving ourself. Because effectively, and I've said this before, I won't go into it, I don't think we can love anyone else, including God, to the extent, I think we can only do it to the extent that we love ourselves. Because otherwise we are loving for an agenda. We are loving for what you can do for me. And I think Jesus, he circumvents it. And he says, listen, make sure you're loving yourself. That way, your love for God, your love for others is pure. It has no manipulation. It has no agenda. And to love, as I was saying earlier, the reason I believe it to be greater than any burnt offering or sacrifice is a burnt offering and a sacrifice, whatever that else that we would combine with those words, they come from something outside of ourselves. They're external to us. If, you know, today we're not going to give a burnt offering or we're not going to take a calf to the temple. That's just not what we do. But we may give money on behalf of some charitable event. The hurricanes that just came through the South in the United States, the war-torn areas over in the Middle East or Ukraine or Sudan or whatever. We may act on behalf of others and give of that. And that is good stuff. That those, trust me, I'm not trying to undermine or undercut those. But if that's all we do and we don't give some of ourselves, instead we're just giving something external, I think our God looks at us through Jesus in this reading and says, but I want you. Hey, listen, that check is great. That money, that offering, because that's going to help people. But I want you. All right, brothers and sisters, let's talk about that, right? There's a story that I've told before, and I'll say it again, and it dates myself because it goes back to the movie City Slickers, right? And that's a movie that came out, what, 33 years ago, whatever it is. You know, like there's probably 100 better stories that I could tell in the movies and stories that have come out since then, but here's this guy, you know, wrapped in 1991 and locked there. So anyway, it's a wonderful scene. If you've ever seen the movie, you already know it. But Billy Crystal is out in the Western desert, and he's with this cattle rustler, you know, a cattleman, and he's just a hard, cranky old guy. And it's just the two of them going along, and Billy Crystal's entering his midlife crisis, and he's seeking answers. And he says to him, and it's Jack Palance who does such a marvelous job. He says, what's the secret of life? And Jack Palance, who is Curly or something, I think his name is, it puts up his finger, just one finger on his hand. And Billy Crystal says, the answer to life is your finger? And he says, Jack Palance says, one thing, you know, follow it and the rest don't mean, you know, anything. Basically, pay attention to it. And I bring that story up because it's very true. That's exactly, I think, what Moses is saying now. It's exactly what Jesus is saying. Is the secret of life, the secret of happiness, is one thing. And that one thing around which we revolve, the one thing which centered and brought together the Jewish people, which in effect brings together us, is our God. And our God is central to us. That one thing around which everything in our life is to revolve. When we are grounded, when we are our best selves, I urge you, look at that. And I'll bet money you are revolving around our God, and you are revolving around what that means. Now, does that mean, brothers and sisters, that you are thinking about God all the time? I mean, Paul in Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing, right? Well, that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that we're saying the Our Father every moment of the day. Prayer does not mean that God is before us and on our mind the entire day. That's impossible. How do we get anything else done? How do we pay attention to the people that are speaking in front of us? Prayer means that we are acting out of that place where we revolve around God, and that all our actions, all our intents, all our words, all our whatever it is that we are doing, our attitudes, they are all in that place where they are revolving around the centrality of our God. And that anything that we are doing, the words that we say, the things, the way we treat people with kindness or love, or merely see them and honor them in seeing them and being present to them, or loving what they are doing and rejoicing in it and supporting them, or whatever that is, to the extent that we do that, and we're doing it out of the sin. I mean, that's love, brothers and sisters. It is done, and that's prayer, by the way. That's what I'm saying is, we pray without ceasing when we move around the centrality of our God, and all our actions, attitudes, words, thoughts come out of that. Now, we also know there are other times things fall apart and we're not grounded and we're not moving out of that. Forgive yourself and move back to it. That's all that calls us to, right? Because what Jesus is doing is he's linking love of others to the love of God. I mean, what is it that in 1 John it says, and I'm going to read it out of 1 John. I think it's 1 John, what chapter, Joe? Chapter 4, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, but hates their brother or sister, they are a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Meaning, brothers and sisters, do you want to know? Do you want to test yourself? Do you want to, the way, if you've ever asked, do I love God? I wonder if I ever love God. Ask yourself this. How well do you love your brother or sister? Because if you're loving others well, yeah, you're doing it, okay? Our love of God is not separate and distinct from our love of one another. Our love of God is wrapped up in how well we love one another. It's why so many people can say, listen, these actions that I do on behalf of justice for whomever or whatever, whatever group of people or whatever people that are not being seen or heard or have a voice, who feel powerless, who feel left behind, because those are acts of love. And we cannot say we love our God without loving those who are the weakest among us. Brothers and sisters, we are called to pray without ceasing. We do that in how we love, in how central our God is. And the truth is, when Curly holds up his one finger and says, the secret of life is this, and the rest doesn't mean anything, inherent in that yes is a no, right? When I said yes to Renee all those years ago, inherently, I said no to all other women at that point. It doesn't mean I said no to them as in don't come by me. It means I say yes to Renee in this way and only Renee in this way. And inherently, that means no to others in that way. And every day, I mean, that love, that again, don't think feeling, think decision. That yes needs to be re-said by me and by Renee. I'm just using that as an example. But that's what love looks like in our world. Don't be looking for feelings. Look like, how do I say yes to God today? How do I make an act of the will by saying yes? Because in saying yes to God, I'm inherently saying no to whatever actions or whatever kingdom I'm desiring, perhaps instead. We say it every time we say the Lord's Prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, which inherently means my kingdom does not come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So it's not about mine, it's about God's. And that's what our readings invite us to today. I mean, again, I know that others could have said it better, but it's so beautiful. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your understanding. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater laws than these. It is love, and it comes from a place of purity and centrality. All else don't mean anything. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. We are going to go back to the first glorious mystery, and there's reason for it, but you don't need to know that. The first glorious mystery, the resurrection. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thanks again for being with me today. May your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.